Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the service this evening. We've had a good time of worship, and I'm glad that you're here tonight. If you'd like to take your Bibles, please, I'm going to get you to turn to the two chapters that we used last week, Luke chapter 11, Matthew chapter 9. Have your finger in Luke 11 and Matthew 9. We're going to be starting in Luke 11, and there's a bunch of verses that we're going to be using tonight also on your yellow sheet, so please have that handy. I'd like you to be following along. We've been doing a series following chronologically in the four Gospels, a synthesis of the four Gospels chronologically, called Jesus' Words. And the title of this evening's message is To Be Blessed. Let's pray. Oh Father, we would pray as we come before your word. We want to be blessed. We want to be a blessed people. We want to be blessed individuals. We want to walk with you. We want you to cause your face to shine upon us. We want to know your peace. We want to know your joy. We want to be full of your Spirit, Spirit-saturated, Word-saturated Christians, walking with you each day. Help us to learn from your Word tonight. I pray that you would speak to us as only your Spirit can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There is no family or individual that would not want to be blessed of God, especially amongst Christian circles. And even those not in Christian circles want to be blessed. God has blessed us in his grace. It is by his grace. But how many of us are really willing to make sure the channels stay open for his blessing to come into our lives? Now, to be blessed of God is to be in God's favour. The world uses the word blessed to mean to be equivalent to good luck. So even when they use the word blessed, oh, I was blessed, bro, they're not really referring to God's blessing, they're just meaning to the luck of life. But blessing comes from the hand of a gracious God. And there are things that we can do to make sure those channels of blessing stay open. Really? Yes, for sure. We need to know how to be blessed. Now here's the setting. Luke and Matthew round off the first full year of Jesus' ministry. It's come to an end. The Passover, the next Passover is looming. And it's time for Jesus to change gears. We're in Capernaum. We've been in Capernaum for a number of messages now. And then, as we close tonight, there will be a final tour of Galilee before the Passover. In his final words for year one, Jesus gives three instructions on being blessed. Now, we're going to combine the first two, but I want you to remember that there are three. The first two instructions on being blessed are, number one, hear and obey. Hear and obey. Now that's not rocket science, but allow me to keep going with this. We certainly need to hear, but it's not enough to merely hear. We also need to obey. You say, I know that already. I know you know that already as God's people. But wait to hear what Jesus said. And anyway, knowing, this is the point, knowing is not the whole story. Not only do we need to know it, we need to live it. In Capernaum, in the last couple of messages we've seen, a woman healed of a hemorrhage of 12 years, a 12-year-old girl raised from the dead. We've seen the healing of two blind men. We've seen the exorcism of a mute man and Jesus' teaching on spiritual warfare. Jesus' teaching reveals a depth of understanding that was missing from the scribes and the Pharisees. Luke chapter 11 and verse 27 says, carrying on right from the last time, and it happened, as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised a voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts that nurse you. But he said, more than that, blessed are those that hear the word of God and keep it. The woman said, Mary was really blessed to have you. Jesus replied, yes, she was blessed, but greater blessing is upon those that hear and obey. That is, you and I are blessed even more than Mary was blessed when we hear the word of God and when we obey it. Before we get into that conversation, I want us to observe some other situations where Jesus said that we would be blessed. Number one, you are blessed when you're granted the privilege to hear. Yes, Jesus also said that and underlined that in other places. It's a blessing to hear the truth. Matthew 13 and verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. You are blessed to hear. Secondly, you are blessed when you are granted understanding of what you hear. When Peter understood who Jesus was, Jesus replied in Matthew 16, verse 17, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And every spiritual understanding must be revealed by our Father who is in heaven. That understanding comes from God, and we're blessed when we understand. Not just hear, but also understand. Number three, you are blessed when you are granted faith. John chapter 20 and verse 29 says, Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed." Yes, we're saved by faith, but even that faith is a gift from God. What a blessing. So we're blessed when we hear the word of God, when we understand it, and God also blesses us to enable us to believe the word. Number four, you are blessed when you are granted a spiritual response to what you hear, understand, and believe, when you have a spiritual response. You're blessed if you've seen your need of God. And this is when we get into the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says in Matthew 5 and verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Those who understand they can't do it themselves, they need God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You are blessed when you have such a conviction of sin that you grieve over your sin. Verse 4, "Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted." You are blessed when you are able to respond to God by submitting to His rule in your life. Verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." You are blessed when you long to live right and be right. Verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." You are blessed when you desire that, when your desire for righteousness extends all the way to your heart. Verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." I missed verse 7. You're blessed when God enables you to be kind. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And you are blessed when you are so for God that you begin to be a thorn in the side of those who want to ignore God. We read about that in verse 10. "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So in summary, talking about a response, in summary then, if you respond like a child to what you have heard, understand, and believe, if you respond like a child, then you are blessed indeed. Mark 10 and verse 15. "Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them and blessed them." Those that receive the kingdom in the way of children were blessed. We're blessed if God enables us to respond to him. Number five, we are blessed when we obey. Yes, Jesus underlined the need for obedience in other places too. We read in John 13 and verse 17, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." And sixthly and finally, you are blessed if you continue in obedience, you continue in faithfulness. Regarding the disciples that followed Christ to the end, we read in Luke 24 and verse 50, "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them." That was for only those that followed to the end. And we will be blessed too, if we follow to the end. Just turn the page in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12 and verse 37. 12 and verse 37. It says, "Blessed are those servants whom the Master, when he comes, will find watching. They've continued with the Lord Jesus Christ all the way to his return, and they're watching for him." So in summary, can you see that we are blessed to hear, understand, believe, respond to, and obey continuously the word of God? That is an enabling from God and a blessing from God. But in the present passage, which is Luke 11:27, in the present passage, Jesus talks about hearing and doing. Let's read those verses again. Luke 11 and verse 27. And it happened, as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you." But he said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Let me make three comments about those verses. Number one, don't elevate Mary. Don't focus on Mary. Every Jewish woman hoped that she might be the mother of the Messiah. Now, this may be what Daniel is referring to in his prediction of Antichrist. I've got it there for you on your sheet. Daniel 11 and verse 37. Daniel is talking about the Antichrist when he says, "He shall regard neither the God of his fathers nor the desire of women." And we've got to answer the question, who is this desire of women? Well, one very eminent possibility is the Messiah. He was the one who would be desired by all Jewish women to be the mother of him. So he, the Antichrist, shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the Messiah, nor regard any God, for he shall exalt himself above them all. You see, Antichrist will not regard Messiah, who is God in the flesh, nor any other God, because he sees himself as God. Anyway, you can understand that Jewish women would wonder if they might be the mother of the coming Messiah. Mary was. Mary was the mother of the Messiah. And so she exclaimed in Luke chapter 1 and verse 46, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit is rejoiced in God my Saviour. For he has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." Yes, certainly Mary was blessed. But at this stage in Mary's life, she has some doubts about her greater son. And Jesus said that anyone that truly followed him had greater blessing on their lives than Mary did. So let's not elevate Mary beyond what she was, nor put a focus on Mary. This might be a verse that we could use with Roman Catholic folk, with Maronite folk, to say that Jesus did not put that kind of blessing on his mother. Let's focus on the Messiah himself. We've heard and understood. My second comment on those verses is, hearing only is not enough. Hearing only is not enough. We have already noted that to hear is to be blessed. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3 adds, Revelation 1 and verse 3 adds, "Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it." So hear and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. To read the Bible is a blessing. To have a Bible is a blessing. To know what God is saying is a blessing. But it's a greater blessing when we keep it. We have this tendency to think all we need to do is come and hear the word on Sundays. Because we have come, we think, well, that's all that's needed. If so, we are greatly deluded. James says in James chapter 1 and verse 22, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." We need to remember what we read and then to live it. And the Jews made the same mistake of thinking that just being exposed to the word, just knowing the word, was enough. And so Paul wrote to them in Romans chapter 2 and verse 13, "For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified." Of course, the problem with that is nobody can do it. And so nobody is justified by the law. Jesus himself taught in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7 and verse 24, Therefore whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. So you're not wise just by hearing the sayings of Jesus. You're wise because you do them as well. Do not forget to obey what you hear. My third comment on these verses is, hearing and obeying is just level one discipleship. Just level one discipleship of three levels. The three levels of discipleship are, firstly, hear and obey. Second level, hear, obey, and teach. Third level, hear, obey, teach, and oversee. Each level of discipleship adds another requirement, but no Christian ever stops needing the basics of hearing and obeying. In level one discipleship, you have decided to follow Jesus. That's a good thing to do. In level two discipleship, you're not only following Jesus, but you're leading others to come and follow Jesus. In level three discipleship, there is a depth of relationship and experience that can help other people that are leading others to follow Jesus. So it's kind of a consultant level as far as that goes. We all need to follow Christ. We all need to grow. We all need to change. Amen to that? Surely. But the best any pastor can do is to model and motivate. Do you know something? We cannot change anyone. No preacher from the front can change anyone. Only the Word of God and the Spirit of God can change anyone. We can be used to motivate, we can be used to model, but we cannot change anyone. And I see much resistance to change. Much personal change is needed if there is to be any relief in the problems of life. Now, some say it was Albert Einstein who said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting the same result. Others say the quote is untraceable. I actually, I've heard that quote before, and when I've heard it, I've thought of Thomas Edison. You know, remember, Thomas Edison was the one that invented the light globe, and it says he tried 1,000 different ways until he finally struck on the way that made the light globe work. So he had to keep making a change every time if he was going to succeed. So, I want you to think, if you had a bit of paper, perhaps you do, perhaps you would like to write this down. If you have a bit of paper and you were to write down, what are the problems in my life right now? And if you're not going to write them down, at least think what they are. What are the problems that I'm battling with? Name them in your own heart. Can you discern the spiritual issues at the center of your problem? For example, let's take a small one. Let's say you're having a problem with a neighbour next door. Maybe you hurt him in the past and you never said sorry. There's kind of an element of pride in your own heart that you never said sorry. So if there's a problem with the neighbour next door, can you discern the spiritual issue that's at the centre of that? Perhaps it's pride in not apologising. So, if the problem is going to get better, what do you need to change? Think it through. What's your problem? What's the spiritual issue at the center of that problem? And therefore, what do you need to change? Or to put that another way, you know the scripture. What do you need to start doing? Because it's hear and do. I almost skipped this scripture. I kind of thought to myself, like, this is just basic stuff, hear and do. Everyone knows that. And I want each message to be fresh and helpful. I don't want to be going over stuff that you're doing and living already. But in all conscience, I could not skip this scripture. The Lord wouldn't let me do it. So, who am I speaking to tonight? Is there someone here? Or maybe there's a little bit of this in us all. Is there someone here who is not doing what they know they should? Please start doing it. Insanity is to keep doing the same thing over and over and expect a different result. If there's a problem, maybe there's something in me that needs to change to resolve that problem. We need to start living what we know. Hear and obey. The third instruction on being blessed is pray. So the three are hear, obey, and pray. I didn't make these up. This is what Jesus says at the end of his first year of ministry. And for this we turn to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. It says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, one thing I want you to notice about that verse is that it's very similar to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23 on your sheets. That verse says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people." Very similar. And you say, well, so what? Well, Matthew uses Matthew 4:23 to introduce Jesus' first full year of ministry. And he uses Matthew 9, verse 35, to end Jesus' first full year of ministry. These similar verses are bookends associated with the time of the Passover. He's just about to come to Passover again. Jesus' second year of ministry is going to have notable changes. There's going to be much more emphasis on teaching the disciples individually, and there's going to be much less emphasis on speaking to the crowds. So we read in verse 35, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Jesus did a final circuit, in other words, before he went up to Jerusalem for Passover. Nevertheless, what Jesus did, of course, was not mere routine. We read in verse 36, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd." What an indictment on the shepherds of Israel. Israel had leadership, but these people looked like they had no leadership at all, because the leaders were not leading. They were more like false teachers in their ministries. Perhaps their ministries could have been called fleece the flock ministries. The leaders were there for their own benefit, and that left the sheep weary and scattered. Indeed, they had no shepherd. But Jesus is the good shepherd who cares for the sheep. He is no mere hireling. In fact, Jesus didn't take. Jesus gave and gave, and then he gave his life for us. If we would seek to be like the good shepherd, first of all, we have to see the need. Verse 36 says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd." Take a look at the multitudes. Take a look around at the people of Australia today. What do you see? A 2016 report of Australian mental health found that one in four young people have serious mental illness. And that is a rise on previous increases. I mean, the thing keeps going up. Also, the issues increase as teenagers get older, from 13 through to 18 or 19. They also go up if you're female. They also go up if you're Indigenous. The recent plebiscite, where 60% of the population actually thinks that homosexual marriage is okay, points to deep and serious problems. Do you see a society that is so weary that so many people are thinking about suicide? They're depressed, depression is going up, they're weary, and they're scattered, they're not knowing what's right and wrong. Every man does what is right in his own eyes, as it said of the time of the judges. I'd certainly say we're a weary and scattered society. Do you see the need? And if we see the need, let's have the compassion of Christ. Verse 36 says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd." When he saw that they were weary and scattered, his heart yearned for them. His stomach was in knots over them, because that's what the Greek word splenkidzomai indicates. It refers to the bowels. It refers to that, the old King James used to say, bowels of mercy or compassion. Compassion is a key, I think. The need is obvious. The need is in your face. We ought to see that people are lost and weary out there. The need is obvious, but few of us react to the need like Christ reacted to the need, with compassion. God yearns for the lost. He's not willing that any should perish. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He is a compassionate God. The English word compassion means to feel with, which Christ certainly did. He wept over Jerusalem, the lost people of Jerusalem, who didn't understand who he was. He wept with those that wept in the death of Lazarus. I'm glad Christ is compassionate. I want to be like him. So then, hear and do. for there is certainly something for us to do here. Verse 37 says, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Or let's just concentrate on verse 37 first. "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few.'" If Christ was able to counsel one person a minute for 12 hours a day, for 6 days a week, for the 3.5 years of his ministry, you work it out, he could not counsel every person who lived in Israel at the time. Verse 37 says, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few.'" It was too much for Christ to speak personally to every individual. It was too much for Christ and the disciples alone to speak to every individual. Verse 38 says, "Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." The problem with ministry in Jesus' day is exactly the problem with ministry in our day. There are far too few workers. We think about ministries we want to do next year. Then we think about who might do them. Well, we have the same problem. Verse 38 says, therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Bill Crowder, we have a Bible conference each year, our group of churches, the AFBC, and Bill Crowder is the invited guest for the Bible conference in 2018. He writes, "As a young pastor, I served a fledgling new congregation, and one of the members, or some of the members, were my parents. My father was very active in the church's people ministries, evangelism, hospital visitation, nursing home visitation, relief of the poor, and more. Although he had never been formally trained in ministry, Dad, Bill Crowder says, had a natural ability to connect with people, especially people who were in the midst of hard times. This was a passion that he had for downtrodden people who were often overlooked. In fact, the day he died, Bill Crowder says, my last conversation with my father was about someone that he promised to visit, and he wanted to make sure that that promise was kept. He says, I believe my father's service was one that followed the heart of Christ. And after reading Christ's words, we'd agree with that, wouldn't we? The key word is compassion. Then in application, Bill Crowder says, my father became the answer to the prayers that Christ told people to pray. He became the answer to prayer in many hurting people's lives, and we can as well. When the prayer goes out for someone to represent Christ, Lord, send out laborers into the harvest field. May our heart respond, here am I, Lord, send me. Yes, the dynamic is interesting. When we pray like we're told to pray in verse 38, therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. When we pray like that, we become part of the answer. Here am I, Lord, send me. John MacArthur observes, but when we earnestly pray for the Lord to send someone to those unsaved people, we cannot help becoming open to being that someone ourselves. When we sincerely beseech the Lord to send someone to witness to them, we place ourselves at his disposal to become his workers in that ministry. So who can reach the world, the scattered and hurting sheep, a hell-bound world of sinful, hurting people who need to hear the truth of the gospel? Who will go? Who will tell them of their plight and explain the way of escape? Who will share with them Jesus' love and compassion? Who will pray that God will send out laborers into his harvest field? Who will warn them of the false shepherds who might lead people into deeper and deeper darkness? Please pray. Please pray. The third way to open the channels of blessing is to pray. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Hear, obey, pray. That's Jesus' final words for year one of his ministry. Let's pray. Dear Father, we want to respond to the Lord Jesus. We hear the words tonight. We hear him speaking to us down through time. We hear His Spirit saying, yes, this is the way, walk in it. Yes, Lord, we hear You. And yes, Lord, we want to commit ourselves to obey You. And one of the ways that You've asked us to obey You is in prayer, to pray the Lord of the harvest that He might thrust out labourers into His harvest. Oh Lord, we need the labourers. We need people who say, yes, I will go. Lord, we need people here in this community to go to people in this community. We need to see people coming to Christ. Oh Lord, thank You for all the leaflets that have been dropped. Pray that You would bring some. Thank You for other means of communication. Websites and Facebook and newspaper. Father, we pray that You'd use all these. Draw people to the carols. Give us the opportunity to explain the gospel. Help us to point to Christ, who He is. Lord, thrust out labourers. Oh Lord, I pray that You'd raise up some young person here today. Someone to serve the Lord, to train and to go. Oh, I pray that You'd speak to some tonight. Lord, what are You saying to Your people, those that are here tonight? Lord, help us to respond. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And then may our feet do what our heart says. We bless You, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.